and welcome back to Vox Burner's Youth Trends podcast. Now, today we're joined by Mark Melling from Verizon, who is also speaking at this year's YMS 21 London event on September the 14th. But today, we're having a chat about the importance of creating immersive experiences for Gen Z, and why for them, a blend of in-person and online is crucial. Mark, a big welcome to the Vox Burners Youth Trends podcast. How are you?
Very good, Richard. Thanks for having me. Really nice to be involved.
Fantastic. And how's your day kicked off? All good?
Yeah, it's been amazing. In studio all morning. So here in our 5G powered studio in Holborn, London, we've been shooting something really cool with the I can't give away too much, but in the fashion industry, a virtual fashion shoot, which is going really well, using some pretty interesting tech.
Sounds good, and look, it's good to see that you're obviously not in your home today. You're back in the office, so things are returning a little bit to normal over at Verizon, which is great to see.
It's excellent, and it's so great to be back face to face with so many colleagues. The creative juices are really flowing now.
I can imagine. Excellent. Well, look, let's kick things off, Mark, with hearing a bit about yourself and your background and also your current role over at Verizon.
Yeah, cool. I guess I'll start with what I do at Verizon. So I had Riot, which is the creative tech engine for Verizon and more specifically Verizon Media. So anything that Verizon or Verizon Media does with their partners in regards to XR, augmented reality, virtual reality, or even pushing the envelope and new innovations like digital virtual productions and NFTs, you name it, they usually come to us and we figure out a way to make it work. My background itself is a bit untraditional, as I think most people in this the XR industry have a varied background. There is no linear path. I started off teaching abroad, but very quickly realized that in the digital space was coming quickly. As I was in South Korea at the time, I think mobile technology was really far advanced from where I'm natively from, which is Canada. So as soon as I got back to Canada, I did a master's degree in economics, but focused on mobile technology. And, my thesis was all around how I felt it was going to change the economy and change the way that we did things. And shortly thereafter, got into digital and started working in mobile, started working in video and staying at the front of the innovations even within digital at the time, and that's led me here to the XR space, which as I think is, and I think many would agree, is the next iteration of innovations in digital technology.
Absolutely, a huge passion for the space. Clearly, what is it around this space that excites you so much and has kept you really interested for all these years?
Well, I think in terms of media and communication, the innovation comes in waves. When I first started engaging with media a long time ago, and it's just in britches, it was all television screens and books and films, and that changed into the digital era when I was a teenager, it wasn't so much that we're seeing new technologies and new ways to communicate, just a digitized version of that. So like, for example, mail became email, VHS DVDs became streaming, CDs became Spotify, and all of these changes started taking place. And it was because of outside influences, but the internet made that possible. With XR, I've seen the opportunity of a new wave of innovations coming around, around, you know, a lot of people are talking about it, but the increased capacity to transfer data at very high volumes. Part of that is within 5G, right? You know, very soon 5G will be ubiquitous, and the power of the mobile phone in everybody's hands is going to change. And it's going to feel like it happens overnight, just like it did in the digital era, from moving from laptops and computers into mobile. That happened mostly because of progress in network technology of 3G and 4G, not because of the computing power in the phone, which was kind of always there, but not using being used to its full capability. That's happening right now, and you know, with development in 5G, we're now seeing that we're able to do incredible things in the XR space now that we have better capabilities to transmit data at really high capacities in real time. And so, you know, we're working on a lot of stuff right now that, you know, of course, you know, XR is something that we can use every day because of many different advancements. But, you know, we're really on the cusp of something huge. And this is certainly a space I feel like it's worth to invest my time and my team's time right now.
Look, I couldn't agree more. You know, Mark, the past year or so, or year and a half, if not a bit longer, we've all been, you know, inside our homes and having, you know, online experiences. And really now, as the world begins to open up, you know, consumers and more so Gen Z, who I know we're going to be talking about today, are really craving those immersive experiences. Mm-hmm. How do you see the way Gen Z are connecting with brands linked to immersive experiences? How do you see those two linking together? What do Gen Z want from those experiences, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's a really good question, because I like how you linked, you know, those experiences, XR, in together with immersive experiences and leading into, you know, where it's going. You know, there's no denying the uptake impact we've seen of, you know, XR filters and social on Snap and TikTok, of course. We've seen a massive resurgence in QR codes, which is great. For many reasons, QR code is very underrated, but also like incredible advancements in web AR, right? Which is, you know, huge in bringing XR experiences to mass audiences. These are often produced by brands and brought to phones, and it's great to be out of, you know, you don't just need an app like Snap or TikTok to engage with XR anymore because of these advancements in web AR. And you know, our research is showing that, of course, Gen Z is the most willing to engage with this type of tech. And, you know, as long as it's innovative, you know, and really important to Gen Z, kind of seamless to their physical environment. But, you know, honestly, I think we all know that, like, this is not headline news. Stop the presses. Young people like technology. You know, anyone can tell you that. But I think what's really flying under the radar, and that second part of your question, is what's happening within immersive experiences, right? And we're not there yet, okay? We're not in a place where I can say that VR is ready for the masses and for people to engage in Ready Player One type experiences, but we are right on the cusp. And there's nowhere else we need to look but into what's happening in the gaming industry, but more specifically in the casual gaming industry. I'm talking about Roblox and Animal Crossing, and games where winning isn't the primary objective anymore. It's where Gen Z tends to go and meet virtually with their friends and hang out. It's the new social, right? You can see why Mark Zuckerberg's talking about the metaverse now, because he's seeing that the metaverse, that casual gaming, is where people are going to meet. And the best example of this, and if you ever heard me speak before, is I always allude to this, is Fortnite, right? When Fortnite came out with the Travis Scott concert, we've been screaming from the rooftop, this is the metaverse, it's coming. And while it's not a true virtual immersive experience to attend a concert within a game, what you have to realize is what you're actually doing is you're attending a concert within a game engine. And this is why this is really important. So why Fortnite's really important, because it's built on Unreal Engine. And the future of virtual and true immersion is based on the future of game engine technology. In the same way our world is built of oxygen and water and trees, the future world is going to be built on this mash of game engines, allowing people to enter into these spaces and interact with each other like they interact with games right now, right? And there's a huge space for everyone to play, right? If you think about a new virtual world, you have to think about how everything is going to go virtual. So it's not just the future of music, as in Travis Scott doing that concert. Ariana Grande is now getting involved as well. It's also the future of sport. Fortnite doing a partnership with the NFL. It's the future of commerce, right? With the Jordan brand getting involved and starting to sell digital objects within that world as well. The future of streaming with Marvel entering the world, showing exclusive trailers and Star Wars. This is a lot more than interactivity. This is a lot more than immersion. This is the blurring of reality with the virtual, and it's incredibly, incredibly exciting. Ferrari launching their new 296 GTB plugin. They're doing it in Fortnite. Now, while most people don't believe that the casual gamer in Fortnite's out there looking for a Ferrari, it is a massive branding exercise. And sooner or later, that audience, that Gen Z audience, is going to be Ferrari's target audience as well. And there's no time like the present to start experimenting with these types of mediums.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more around that. Ultimately, all Gen Zs will be some brand's audience, sooner rather than later. So get them while they're, while they're in there, exactly. You've referenced some brands already that have really been standout over the past, couple of years or so. Any other brands around maybe retail or FMCG or so on over the past 18 months that have really impacted the way that we look at digital versus physical marketing? I know you've referenced sort of quite a lot of gaming brands there. Any others that stand out for you?
Look, I mean, anyone who's trying to go into the digital space and learn from that space over the last 18 months to try and figure out what are the things that Eureka, my audience wants out of this. Not what do we want to do? What does my audience want to get out of my brand in the digital world? And learn the things that they want and they don't want, and adapt their strategy to bring it back together with the physical world now that things are starting to open back up. I'll use one of our campaigns as an excellent example of a brand being ambitious and trying to figure out their audience in that space, and that's Doritos. So with the launch of the PS5, Doritos, knowing that they have a huge gaming audience that really cares about that space and what's going on that space, knowing that they like innovation as gamers, and trying to align with them, launched with us basically, for lack of better words, a digital treasure hunt for PlayStation X Circle, box and triangle Doritos that you could hunt down Pokemon Go style across the world. You know, collect all four, win yourself a PlayStation 5, right? Aligned with the PlayStation 5. Like, that is incredibly ambitious. It's risky, you know, because you don't know what's actually going to happen. But, you know, I would say one of the most successful campaigns I've ever been involved in, in my career.
Because, I mean, look, Mark, I'm not Gen Z, but I was that desperate for a PlayStation. I was cracking open those Doritos. So,
absolutely. You know, and you know, bringing it together with the physical space, getting people out there chasing around digital objects. You know, everyone wants to talk about NFTs right now. I mean, that's essentially what it was. We were using blockchain technology and augmented reality together. Not exactly the same thing as NFTs, but pretty close. And, you know, it's brands like Doritos that on the next iteration of XR are going to be so far in advance from any of their competitors who, you know, shot down ideas like that in the boardroom over the last 18 months. And there were many who did. Trust me, I know. But they're in a space where they're going to be a lot more comfortable, you know, when things open back up, and we're going to realize that we are so much more. We've brought together so much closely the physical and digital space than we ever could have imagined in the last 18 months, probably 5-10 years in advance that we would have thought before the pandemic.
And Mark, you know, there's a lot of people listening that maybe don't have budgets, you know, to go with, you know, campaigns and so on, such as, you know, PlayStation, Doritos, and so on and so forth. What advice would you give brands that want to get involved in this type of activation? What advice would you give them if, say, they're on a limited budget?
I don't want to sound like a smartass, but, you know, if you think it's expensive right now to not get involved in this space, think about it when it's, you know, 5 years down the line when you're just starting out and you're behind all your competitors. I mean, I'm being a bit facetious there, but I would say you have to explore, right? You have to explore the XR space, you know, get everyone in your organization involved, make it a priority. Trust me, when you're not just paying someone else to do it for you, it gets a lot cheaper. You don't have to run a campaign tomorrow, but you have to get your organization involved, start sharing XR ideas. XR ideas are the easiest ones in the world to shoot down. But, you know, prioritize them. Don't make them a side project delegated to the youngest, least experienced employees. Although if you do that, you'll probably get a great result as well. But you know, find a partner you trust, invest resources, and most importantly, invest your own time, learn by doing. You know, I always say, and to the question about advice, you know, when you experiment with new technology, creative tech, whatever it is, you get two things at the minimum out of the back of it. One, you and your team learn about the technology itself. You know, it's exciting, it's new. Trust me, it will help you get up in the morning because it will excite you and your team around something different. Your workforce is going to learn from experience. So you're upskilling your workforce, what everyone wants. And two, you learn, and this is most importantly, and I mentioned this before, you know, how do your clients and your customers feel about that technology? So, you know, they could love it. Hey, they could hate it, and you never have to worry about it again. But they could love it. It could actually, learnings from that could make you improve your product. Think about new ideas to apply that technology to your product, innovate, increase demand for your product because you know how your customer feels about that technology. And it can be an investment that can change the trajectory of your product, your business, selfishly, you know, your own career. You know, this is a space where you know, like I mentioned before, I don't have a traditional path. No one in my team has a traditional path, but they have a passion and a belief that this technology is going to change the way that we do things. And you know, many people just got involved accidentally in XR project 5 years ago, and they've now made that their career. You know, that's happening with products. That's happening with teams. And my advice is just get involved in these projects any way you can. And honestly, there's no regrets this side, that's for sure.
Correct. Yeah, look, so key takeaway, just get involved.
Get involved,
for sure. So Mark, tell us a bit about the Fabric of Reality project that you've been working on. Is that what you referenced at the start, or is this something different?
Well, yeah, I would reference at the start. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say, but I will definitely be talking about it in September when I'm presenting with my colleague. I'll be talking, but it's essentially a part two of the Fabric of Reality. Fabric of Reality was so basically at the onset of lockdown, as many other industries, you know, were fashion and fashion shows specifically, you know, went into crisis mode. You know, the pandemic brought a whole new set of challenges for the fashion industry, as well as, you know, a whole new set of consumer behavior that was there at that time. But there was also kind of indications that things had changed permanently or potentially from that point. So we decided to partner with the London College of Fashion, FIA, the Fashion Innovation Agency, to create a new proof of concept, a new type of virtual fashion show, where we essentially we launched an exhibition, a live event for press and VIPs in virtual reality. So instead of flying in VIPs from around the world, as you would in a traditional physical event, we send out headsets to our VIPs to experience a virtual fashion show, and I mean this truly, all done in a virtual event. You know, we were able to replicate what would be in a physical event. You know, 150 VIPs attended in VR, but this time from the comfort of their homes and offices. But what, you know, where this gets really interesting is we live stream that event out, and the buzz around a new virtual type of fashion show drove 3.1 million live streams and views of the event shortly thereafter. Because that buzz generated around innovation, right? Innovation technology is no longer a niche subject, right? You don't point in the corner and say, oh, those guys are the tech guys, they're the nerds. I mean, there are levels now, but you know, everyone is interested in technology, and especially when you associate it with an event like fashion that even more people care about, it really generates a lot of buzz, interest, engagement. You know, the feedback from the event was extremely positive. You know, we had not only the virtual garments itself, but the virtual event meant that we could do more than we even could in a physical event, like, you know, tell the you know, immersive backstories about why the designers created these garments, which by the way, these were traditional designers who we partnered with XR artists to kind of free up their collection into this digital space. We had people in the event, you know, sipping virtual cocktails and chatting to each other in real time. You know, they're all virtually in this space together, bumping into each other, colleagues and people who knew each other within the industry. So it had all of these elements of a traditional fashion show, but the scale in which we could leverage it, and that's what you can do with digital, was unprecedented. And that, you know, the feedback from the event from the attendees was overwhelmingly positive. You know, I can go up and down about all of the data points that we got out of it, but for me, the most important data point that came back was, I think it was something like 78% of the attendees said that, you know, experiencing the narrative and the story virtually in that way added positive value to the garments themselves. So knowing about the creator and all this backstory that they experienced, 78%. And that's what we're supposed to do as marketers, right? We're supposed to create stories that add positive value to the things that we are selling. So to to show metrics like that, overwhelmingly positive, really convinced me that it's not that these are going to replace physical fashion shows, but there are things we can learn from the last 18 months in the virtual space that we can now apply as we move forward to create more hybrid experiences. Yes, we can have the VIP in physical or we can do it virtually, but let's have a conversation about what is better and what our clients and our audiences actually want, and give them the best of both worlds.
And that was leads really nicely to my next question about looking into the next 6 months, if not a year. Do you see trends such as these hybrid events carrying on sort of post pandemic, and so will they stick?
Yeah, I mean, you think absolutely. Yes? What you should really be looking at when you're producing either a physical or a virtual event, either way, is it feasible to create the opposite experience alongside it? Because then we start getting into economies of scale, right? So if you're creating a in-person conference, I think you're missing a trick by not producing a virtual conference alongside of it. And I will never, walk into that room during that conversation and say, well, no, everything that we can do virtually, in the physical event, we can all do that online. It's absolutely not true. I still prefer face-to-face meetings. I still prefer conferences, networking in person, right? However, there's also no question that there are advantages to be had by running a digital event alongside that experience. I mentioned the virtual fashion show. We'd never be able to get 3.1 million people into our studio. It just, it's just not going to happen. But do I then want to replace the actual physical event with a digital only version? No, but there are aspects that can be replaced in the physical world by digital aspects that make that event better, right? And you mentioned Gen Z before. I mentioned the research that we had. This is what they want. They want digital experiences, right? They want innovation, but only so much in that it enhances their physical experience. They're not looking for replacements. They're looking for enhancements. And that's the future of where we're going with these hybrid events, like to take the best of both worlds. The ability with have 5G attached to that allows more real-time experiences, more photo-real experiences. We're not exactly there yet, but the future for that type of space is really, really bright.
Absolutely. And Mark, speaking of events, we touched upon it. You're speaking at our physical, in fact, it is a hybrid event also, so it's virtual too. But you're speaking at our YMS event this September. Yes. Is this your sort of first event back like in real life, or have you been attending other events recently?
It's your first one back, My first event in real life. I was given the choice, as you mentioned, whether to do it virtually or physically. I absolutely have asked for to have done physically.
Fantastic. So
I'm bringing with me Allison Quinn, who leads our 5G innovation projects and our 5G accelerator. We're basically going to get up and talk about all of these amazing innovative programs that we've been doing over the last 18 months or so, including I think three new projects that will be launching between now and then, which we'll be going over and talking about how hopefully successful they are, but the real focus of what we're going to be talking about is that is how innovation is driving that space between virtual and physical together. We'll be looking at what this new world looks like. What does retail look like in the metaverse? How do NFTs fit into that space? What happens when we use these new powerful tools in XR and NFTs for and those type of similar tools for good, you know, what happens to that space. It's not just all about the commercial side of things. So yeah, so plug for that session. Hopefully everyone within attends or streams or whatever.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. Well, look, Mark, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon for our podcast. It's been inspiring, like hearing your passion for what you do. It really is inspiring. Thank you very much. Look, your plans for the rest of the afternoon. You finishing off the.
Got to get back in the studio. Really, really cool. Project we're working on right now combines our XR Smart Stage with live motion capture. We've got a team of virtual camera people filming the entire event, and it's going to be ready to go for London Fashion Week. So we've got a lot of work to do to get that done in time. So we'll be back at the studio.
Well, look, have a great rest of the day. And then again, thanks for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
A big thanks to Mark for joining us today. And you can hear more from Mark and 50 more speakers on September the 14th at YMS 21 London. Find out more in the link below, and we hope to welcome you to what's set to be a great 2 days of youth marketing insights and networking. Have a great day ahead, and look forward to welcoming you back here next week for some more youth trends from Voxburner.